Today on Real Life Radio.
Is life forever? If I were to die, is there a heaven? Is there a hell? And what about right or wrong? What about sin? And what about doing the right thing? All of these things are of the operation of your mind, of the soul, of who you are.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, Part 2, continues a series called The Why Series. As Christians, we all know that truthful answers are pretty much hard to come by these days, and that's especially true if we're looking anywhere else but the Bible. Even the answers to the most complex issues of life, whether mental, physical, or spiritual, are found right there in the pages of Scripture. So, if we are made in the image of God like the Bible says, and we are, why as human beings then do we struggle so much? How can we take control of our thought life or get a hold of our emotions? When sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, life suddenly went terribly wrong. But the good news is, our minds can be renewed. Now, if we were made to glorify God, which we were, then it is possible to enjoy our lives with Him. So today, in this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that our minds are the soul of who we are. God has a mind, a will, and emotions, and He's committed to being our teacher. When we submit our minds to Him, God, through His Holy Spirit, will guide us into all truth. And now in his message called The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, we want to give You our minds tonight. You have our souls. We trust You to resurrect our bodies on that great day. But Lord, in the here and now, we need You to move by Your Holy Spirit's power to touch our minds and how we manage our mind. So Lord, speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people again said, amen. Amen. The Bible tells us, and we've been looking at the human mind and the nature of man, all under the umbrella of God's creative powers and God's creative will. Remember last time, church, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. That God designed you, the human being, to have God's replication, as it were, of His moral likeness. It means that you and I have been given a mind. Now, animals, according to the Bible, have souls, but you have been given the mind that is unlike any animal that God has created. You possess a consciousness of the mind factor that means that you are aware of destiny, you are aware of your past, you are aware of the present, you are aware of the future, that you and I are aware regarding our consciousness when it comes to guilt or shame or pleasure or joy or terror. That this is part of the human. And you say, well, why would God make us this way? And this is part of the answer tonight. God did not make us this way. You and I are living in a world now that is fallen, and we have fallen from that state of perfection and living and being with God. And so now our brains in a fallen state are trying to, what, coexist in this world of, can I just say, mayhem? A world that is disjointed. And so God speaks to us throughout the Bible regarding the mind. And remember last time, we gave you Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Remember this? I love this. He's just dirt. It's just a shape of a man at that moment. But God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Life came into Adam. By the way, mark it in your note-taking or your memory, if you would. The moment Adam became a living soul, from that moment on, mankind has been alive. You say, well, that's a dumb thing to say. Of course. No, wait a minute. Do you agree with what I'm saying? Now, I know I'm preaching to the audience here, to the choir, so to speak, but watch this. The moment Adam went from just an incredibly miraculous fashioned physique of a human, when God breathed in him, he became a living soul. You can just meditate on the dynamic of that, because the lung, the kidneys, the liver, the spleen, everything is made out of the elements of this earth. It's how it's arranged. God did that. And all that's amazing. But when he breathed into Adam, Adam became a living soul. And think of it, mankind has been living ever since. Are you with me? Yes. You say, well, that's obvious. Well, hang on. Regarding the reality, for example, of the unborn child. I deliberately say the unborn child. I'm not going to say fetus. I'm not going to say embryo, because that dehumanizes the existence of the unborn child in the world in which you and I live in. But listen to this. People debate today, at what point is this human a human, or this thing, this blob, valuable? That's the big debate. And we touched on it last week, but it bears repeating. People will say that this child, oh, she's only 4 months along. The abortion's going to be 4 months along. And, you know, it's just tissue. Have you ever heard that before? Just tissue? And it's downgraded. It's downgraded. And it's almost that the argument is that it's not really alive. It's just tissue. When I think of tissue, I'm not quite sure what I think of. Tissue. Maybe tissue is something that gets ripped off when I fall against the wall and my knee. Tissue? What do you mean, tissue? But keep this in mind. Don't let anyone ever dupe you again on this. The moment Adam became a living soul, he had consciousness, he was aware, he was alive, and mankind has been alive ever since, so much so that you cannot tell me tonight, scientifically, biologically, chemically, you cannot tell me when that unborn child was a piece of tissue, non-existent thing. You can't tell me that. Because watch, when a male and a female get together, the male has living sperm. The sperm's alive, is it not? And the female, she has an egg. The egg is alive, is it not? When this side of life and all of the coding of the DNA and all of the magnificence of this mathematical miracle exits the male and the female receives, in all of the miraculous creation and technology of who and what she is and what she produces in that egg, the egg is alive, the sperm is alive, and independently they collide and there is conception, and somebody might even say, oh, life begins. Well, we know what you mean by that, but the truth is the whole show is alive. It's all alive. There's never a moment when it's not alive. If something's not alive, you've got a deceased egg or you have deceased sperm and nothing lives. There is no baby. But because there's life colliding with life in a mathematical, miraculous equation, this child, everything stamped in that instant at the collision, all the programming is there. And it's more complex, more vast than the known universe that you and I live in. But the most amazing thing of all is not the physical side of it, but it's the side of the mind. You and I, as believers, you and I used to live a life, perhaps all of us, maybe some of you have been brought up in the church. God bless you. That's amazing. My wife was like that. I didn't know Jesus. I can just give you my report. I grew up, maybe you did as well. I grew up in a world where there was no God, and my mind was there was no fences. And you grow up and you've got all of these things that you're experiencing in life, and yet at the exact same time, you know down deep inside that there's some sort of anchor. There's some sort of almost desired fence. I remember becoming a brand new believer, and I had then wished, boy, I wish somebody would have told me about Jesus when I was in junior high. I don't know what I would have done that information. I'm assuming I would have accepted Christ at that time, but there's a part of you inside. You don't even have to be a believer tonight. There's a part of you that says, we need fences. We need moral fences, because I can discern and I can judge. And, and from the operation of my mind that there's right and wrong and there's good and there's evil and all of these things. It's a fact. It's an amazing thing. But when we talk about living, we cannot talk about living without, as humans, this consciousness of the mind. I want to show you something, and I want you to be thinking, because it all comes down to the foundation of what we're talking about regarding the human mind. I want to show you a slide. Take a look at this first slide. What is that? Anybody know what that is? You technically don't know exactly what that is. That could be anything. I'll give you a hint. Next slide. This is great. Because our evolutionary friends are going to say, that proves my point, man. Look at the fish. In fact, let's just skip. Look at the fish, top left-hand corner. Look at the human, top right-hand corner. Not much difference, huh? Evolutionists will say, that's why none of this matters. Look, that right there proves evolution. Somewhere along the line, we were like a fish, and if we keep backing up, we'll be probably looking like something like that, but even smaller, back in the goop, in the mud hole. Now, you see, as the progression goes in this cartooning, the difference becomes more obvious, but people will say, no, this is an argument for evolution. They're talking about the soul and the mind is a waste of time because it doesn't matter. We die and it's over. There's no reason, there's no purpose to living. We're all evolutionary byproducts. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. He who dies with the most toys wins. What? We don't know, but he wins. Nothing matters. You're an animal. We want you to act like an angel, but you're an animal, the world teaches us. And they'll cite something like this. I'd like you to consider this in the reverse. When you look at the fish in that stage, all the way, you look at the amphibian, the reptile, the bird, the human, and you see all that, and you say, well, there's so much similarity. Evolution must be true. Why is your mind working like that? How about this? Because there's so much similarity in all of these things in their embryonic or minute state, it just shows you that the same designer designed them all. Amen. Do you see how you approach things with a preconceived thing? You and I have been conditioned. Oh, there you go. That's a tough one. No, it's not. Listen, Ford Motor Company cranks out vehicles that look somewhat similar to one another, but the tall tale sign is it's got a stamp on the hood, Ford. This argues for the one true God that engineers life the way that he does. Somebody will say, well, look at the monkeys. We look like monkeys. Monkeys look like us. The same God that made us made the monkey. He's the designer. He's the creator. But you're different. He said, I've given you my very moral image is inside of you. Now, I think we have another slide. There you are. Isn't that weird looking? Housed inside this physical structure, this human being will eventually, of course, come into the world and live a life and die. But yet, no one in science can tell us. We don't know when is it, at what stage does this baby have a functioning consciousness. And it gets very metaphysical if you push this. We won't push it tonight because it kind of freak us out. But at what point? Because, for example, if I remember right, I could be wrong, don't hold me to this, but if I remember right, Mormon doctrine, I believe, teaches that from the sea of souls, at the moment a baby is born and breathes its first breath, from the sea of souls, which is somewhere out in the spirit realm, a pre-existing soul enters into that child at birth. I'm just saying that Mormon doctrine teaches that. What I'm saying is, at some point along the way, this child will someday, if not then, we don't know, house the consciousness or the soul. Nobody can tell. We don't know. If I had to bank on it, I can't prove it. But at the point of conception, I think David was onto something when he announces in Psalm 139 that the Lord was right there in the makings of it all while I was yet still in my mother's womb. Amen. And I bring this up for all of this reason about the mind and how we think. And so, church, I just pray that tonight would be a blessing to you because this is a touchy topic. Remember now that your brain is not your mind. Your mind is you. The brain is simply a physical tool that the mind uses. Your mind. It is within us, it's us. But from the earliest stages of life, the world, our family, living, our external existence, all of these things come together to determine and to make the you that you are. You and I and the human mind has been engineered in a way to receive input constantly. Not only processing, but it shapes our personalities and it shapes our worldview. As we grow up, we have a certain perspective on life that doesn't come from the brain. It's the mind. The brain's only a tool. And that's something that we need to keep in mind because the Bible again tells us, and we'll look at some scriptures tonight, that our minds are alienated from God. And yet there's something yet inside of us that makes us wonder. Think about it right now, believer or non-believer alike tonight. The thoughts that come into your mind regarding, is life forever? If I were to die, is there a heaven? Is there a hell? And what about right or wrong? What about sin? And what about doing the right thing? All of these things are of the operation of your mind, of the soul, of who you are. Listen to what C.S. Lewis, you know I love quoting him. Listen to what C.S. Lewis says regarding man's situation. When a man is getting better, he understands more and more clearly the evil that is still left in him. Did you hear that? It's going to make you think. When a man is getting worse, he understands his own badness less and less. A moderately bad man knows he is not very good. A thoroughly bad man thinks he's right or all right. We talked about this last week, right? Listen. This is common sense, really. I love this. You understand sleep when you are awake, not when you are sleeping. You can see mistakes in arithmetic when your mind is working properly. While you are making them, you cannot see them. Think of that. You can understand the nature of drunkenness when you're sober, not when you're drunk. Good people know about both good and evil. Bad people do not know about either. That's a profound statement. The very fact that right and wrong and good and bad can be determined speaks to what we're looking at tonight. What makes us the way that we are, you and I? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis 3, 1. The Bible says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said, by the way, this is the third time I've read the word said, which is important to where we're going tonight regarding the mind. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, that's the fourth statement there, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Notice that there are numerous statements here where he said, she said. Back and forth. Why is that important? Because when words are spoken, the mind receives what is spoken and begins to process that statement. Satan knows this. Notice, Satan attacks Eve via deception. Now, I'm not getting into the weeds. The serpent, look, we don't know how Adam and Eve had it. It must have been amazing in the garden. Because you say, why do you say that? Because Eve is being deceived by Satan, but Satan's using the serpent, which was a magnificent animal in the garden. And apparently, it's no big deal to talk to a serpent in those days. I don't know about you. If a snake started talking to me, I wouldn't be I know how that goes. I've read the book. It's not going to turn out well. But she's not flustered at all about that. The snake's talking, except Satan's using her like a puppet. And she's carrying on a conversation. But notice what the attack is. The mind. The enemy goes after your mind tonight, Christian. The enemy goes after your mind tomorrow morning when you wake up. The enemy is always going after your mind. Constantly. Hath God said? Did God say? What about this? Listen, it goes on and on. Fill in the blank. I feel this. Doesn't matter what the Bible says. God is love. Oh, don't worry. He'll forgive you. Have you ever heard that in your mind before? Who hasn't? The enemy is speaking. Why? Because that's how he gets into the recesses, if I can put it that way, of your mind. And he goes to work in your thought process. He begins to tamper with your progress of how your mind works. What makes us who we are is the fact that you and I, if we continue in life without direction, we will make our own decisions. Adam and Eve's life is a perfect example of this. And we will begin to form the person that we are. Why do you believe what you believe? How did that happen? How do you back it up? How does your mind process things? That's why we speak often against emotionally based theology. It will deceive you every time. It's exactly what Satan did to Eve. Has God said? To trick and to deceive. We need to be careful. You and I are very prone to deception, and Satan knows it. And listen, I believe this, that when we're young, you test me on this. When I read the Bible, I see a directed effort by satanic powers to always thwart and destroy a child as young as possible. Be it through Pharaoh, be it through Herod, be it through whatever means, Satan knows if he can twist the mind of a child early on. And you and I live in a world where there's a battle constantly raging. That's why parents, I tell you what, parents today, we need to be suited up in armor. We need to look, instead of looking all cute and pretty, maybe that's fine. Go ahead and look all handsome and pretty, I should say. Both of you, knock yourself out. Here's the deal. In reality, we should look like warriors. As parents, why? Because you know what? This world is out to, the world is stalking our kids and our grandkids to get inside of their mind. Satan knows this. He seeks to destroy.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. You know, The Human Mind and the Nature of Man, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life, a process we can logically reason together while looking to God for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, it's built into our DNA to want to know what happens in the future. It's why people spend millions each year on psychics and fortune tellers. But for the Christ follower, we can rest in the fact that our future is in God's hands. Did you know that the Bible is filled with prophecies that have already come to pass? But the most exciting part is there are some that have not happened yet that God wants us to know about. That's why Pastor Jack takes the prophetic word found in Scripture so seriously. And it's how we can know the Bible is true. And in that light, we're excited to tell you about the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference. It'll be hosted by our very own Pastor Jack Hibbs through our exclusive live stream pass. The conference is live on Saturday, September 11th, and for only a $5 purchase, you'll have the ability to see pre-recorded teachings and backstage access with all the speakers. So get your streaming pass right away, or to find a church nearby you that's hosting the conference, simply visit our website. That's at beholdhecomes.org. One more time, beholdhecomes.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.